The process of writing and being open to what the poem might propose is much about building a soul as it is about anything. And this book, Knothouse, if you count the number of times you mention the word soul, in a sense, it's really being hammered at us that, you know, we wanted to find out what soul was. And so, I mean, I can just look at my notes and see so many different references to the notion of soul. Your own writing you describe as a search for soul. So there's a confluence there. Can you elaborate on, you know, I mean, even the notion of what it means to have a soul? Keats suggested that this planet was a veil of soul making, and the notion that maybe we're not given a soul, but given the opportunity to build one. How does that notion inform what you're trying to do in Knothouse?
Well, it's you've mentioned Keats twice now, and negative capability and the idea of soul making, and those two things are related. The idea that you're born into a veil in which you know the soul is not given, but has to be made, or has to be found. And there are various ways in which, you know, Homo sapiens has gone about that. One of them is poetry. The root of poetry, a poet means to make. A poet is a maker. And the notion that one has a hand in creating one's life is essential to that. And that creational impetus is what has variously been called soul, you know, the inner life, sometimes spirit. There are other words for it as well. So, one of the things that comes up in Knothouse is a kind of equivocal, sometimes inverse or even negative relationship to that project or that prospect, because often it's kind of a question. It's usually proposed in the phrase, what soul was. I'm not sure how many instances, if there are any instances, where it's just put out there as soul. So it's nobody wanted to know what soul was. So soul is there in that book as the object of a quest or a question that some are attending to and some are not. But certainly the suggestion is, and certainly the momentum that you get from the work is that it is attending to that. But as I said, it's psyche. It's in the deepest sense, it's meaning. It's what we mean by, trying to find meaning in our lives. And language is, of course, a central instrument of that. And poetry is, is nothing if not, the use of that instrument and the carrying of that instrument to certain lengths and hopefully heights, in which the work of soul making is advanced. It's, again, something that's not easy to talk about, and that's probably one of the reasons that I resort to poetry to talk about it. It's a vocabulary that's out of fashion in a lot of quarters, even in poetry quarters, in which that vocabulary has traditionally been at home. So to find a way to continue to pursue that at a time where that term has almost been bracketed is one of the things that I've been trying to do, and that Knothouse is one of the latest installments in doing.
It's very interesting because, we live in a time in history here in the United States in which a reductionist mentality is being taken to its obvious, perhaps not its obvious extremes, but to its extremes, certainly. And in this mentality, nothing exists unless you could see it or touch it or taste it or smell it or hold it in your hands. So soul doesn't exist in this mentality taken to the most logical extreme. And so this book is, in a way, is a reference to that. I mean, you have notions of quag, the quagmires that were stuck in Afghanistan and Iraq and elsewhere around the world. Notion of necropolitan police. I mean, the notion that this empire is ending, or maybe even this way of viewing soul is ending. So the two kind of go hand in hand. There are many references to, for example, Katrina and other kinds of things that were happening while the book was being written. And I wonder what effect do these wars and do our current state of politics in this country have What effect do they have on one's soul or one's ability to make a soul? Could you speak to that?
Well, I mean, in some ways, they challenge the very notion of soul, because they seem to be so much the actions of human beings reduced to some kind of state of autonomy, or to use another vocabulary from zombies. It just suggests a kind of an inability, you know, to make the lives we say we want to live. I mean, if this is a veil of soul making, then what does it say that, you know, we are making these various catastrophes? There's certainly a way in which, you know, soul knows low places, and soul has to deal with low places, and that's certainly something that has come up in my work, and has come up in a lot of stuff that I've read, and that there, you know, that I sometimes make reference to. One way to understand these various catastrophes that we, you know, that we're faced with is that they are purgatorial, that they are a part of a process of growing up, of a process of maturation. One of the reasons that the figure of the Andumbulu speaks to me is, you know, it that it provides that figure of something that's provisional, that's a rough draft, that's on its way to being, you know, something that's more fulfilled and more fulfilling. And so the fact that the soul is posed again and again in the book as a what, as a question, as a something being reached for, or in a context in which it seems that it's not being reached for by, you know, by large numbers of people and by large numbers of institutions, you know, the testing time that the soul goes through is, you know, is essential to understanding how you can have both those things, how you can have quagmire and some hope of, you know, getting beyond quagmire.
It seems to me that we live in a time that in many ways, the odds are stacked against those who would attempt to use this time to build a soul. But on the other hand, the opportunity now is greater. I think what little, even the smallest bit of work dedicated to that effort is rewarded.